So today we're going to be talking about this concept of loneliness, being alone, and God's view of that, and how we weren't meant to be alone. Loneliness is not something that God likes. He doesn't like that idea. We were meant to be in families, and we're going to look at scripture. We're going to look at some different accounts of people that dealt with loneliness. And I think every single person in this room today somehow has been touched by the concept of loneliness. You've either had periods of life where you've felt alone, maybe even in a big family or in a big setting. You can be in a big room and be around a lot of people and still, at your core, feel alone, all right? So we're gonna talk about that today, and we're gonna talk about God's plan and just how he can help. He can help with that. Isn't that beautiful? So let's pray as we get into the scripture this morning. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Aren't you glad you got yourself out of bed and figured out what you had to figure out to get to church today? For those of you who are online, we're so glad you're online. There's nothing like being together with God's family, worshiping him, praying with one another, learning from his word, worshiping together, right? Sounds like heaven. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just be here today. God, thank you that you woke all of us up. Lord, we don't take that for granted because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And so, Lord, thank you for the opportunity of today. Lord, I pray over the next few moments, Holy Spirit, that you will just illuminate truth. Father, I thank you that the word of God is living and active. And Lord, I pray that our hearts and our ears will be open to what you want to have, what you want to say to us today. Where you want to challenge us, where you want to grow us, where you might need to realign things in our lives, priorities in our lives. God, we thank you that you do that with such love and grace. And we thank you, Jesus, that we are not alone because you are always with us. God, help us to remember that in your precious name. Amen. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today, so whatever device or whatever Bible you have, it'll be on the screen. Most of it will be, but we're going to be flipping around and things like that. But the first scripture we're going to look at is this, Psalm 68:6, and it says this, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. God places the lonely in families. God's idea was family. He created Adam and Eve to represent family. The church is representative of a family. God likes the idea of family. He invites us into being sons and daughters with him. You can grow up in a world and be in a family with brothers and sisters, like I said, and still feel so alone. I will tell you this, I'm so thankful for this concept that God places the lonely in families. When I was in Illinois as a young 20-something and then in California, middle 20s, I wasn't married yet and was single. And when you're away from your family, when you're on your own and doing what the Lord has called you to do, sometimes it can get very lonely. There were many times I had roommates, but then there were times where I lived by myself. And I will tell you, those of you that currently live by yourself, some of you may love it. I didn't love it all the time. There were times I loved it, but there were times where I'd come home from really hard days of ministry, exhausted and worn out, and my heart is heavy, and I'd walk into my apartment, and there was no one. That's hard, right? I didn't at the time have a tangible person. Hadn't gotten married yet. The Lord hadn't brought Chuck into my life and the girls into my life at that point. Those were hard times. The darkness of the night, the emptiness of the house, those things weigh on you. And even though I loved God and was doing all the things for him, right? Doing all these grand things, really big things. Thank you, Jesus, that I was able to do them. But yet I would come home and in the depths of that be so like, God, do you care about me? I know you care about all these other people I've been helping, but do you care about me? Have you ever asked yourself those questions? Does God see you? Right? We know he can see other people. We fight for people in prayer. We believe for their miracles, right? But have you ever been like, well, do you see me? I think we've all dealt with loneliness. And I'm thankful, again, God places the lonely in families. I have a dear friend. We've been friends for 30 years. We're basically like sisters. Her parents invited me into their family back in the early 90s. And they were from Ohio. And there'd be times where they'd have Thanksgiving and Christmas, and if I wasn't going home or whatever, they would invite me in to their life, into their family, into their lunches and dinners. And I think we have a lot to learn. I know Jonathan Putnam last week talked about hospitality. That is such God's heart, that we open up ourselves, open up our lives, open up our friendship, open up our hearts to others, right? If we have been blessed, we've not been blessed just for ourselves. We've been blessed so we can be a blessing. And so this idea of God sets the lonely in families, he also sets them in churches. We're called to be the family of God for each other and to each other. Our dear friend Larry Shaw went to be with Jesus. Some of you may not even know him because he's not even been able to be in the building for at least over a year. He had a lot of illnesses, dealing with a prosthetic leg, recently was in the hospital, congestive heart failure, pneumonia. The list went on and on and on with his illnesses. And he didn't have a lot of external family, but he knew Rockside was his family. Anthony Palmer and Nancy and others have reached out and really had been his friend through the years. I'm so glad God places the lonely in families. Rockside, I'm so thankful. Again, I want to say thank you for how we care for people. God brings us folks, men and women, who need love and attention and care. And I'm so thankful that we can walk with those and be their family, be their brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? And although we grieve the loss of our dear brother, boy, we are so thankful that he's in heaven, free and running and celebrating his healing. Again, the things that we have to look forward to, the family of God, right, in heaven. God sets the lonely in families. You see, we live in a world that right now is more connected than ever before. I say that loosely. Through devices and all the things, right? We're more connected, but yet loneliness is a reality that many of us face. We are constantly surrounded by technology and people, but it often feels like we're drifting in isolation. Loneliness is not simply a matter of being physically alone, but a deep emotional ache that arises when we feel disconnected or misunderstood. And that can happen even when we're in a crowd. This loneliness can feel overwhelming, making us question our worth, our place, and our purpose. See, the enemy of our soul, Satan, loves isolation. He works best if he can get people isolated, if he can get them by themselves, because then he can be the only voice speaking to them. You've seen, I'm sure, the National Geographic examples, right? Where there's a herd of zebra and they're a lot stronger together, whereas if there's just one lone zebra off by himself, those lions are gonna take that one zebra out just like that. We're meant to be together. The enemy works to isolate us, to get us aside so he can speak to us, not truths. But today I wanna remind you of a powerful and comforting truth. You are never truly alone. You are never truly alone. Even in our most isolated moments, God is with us, and he has a plan for connection, comfort, and community. As we look at scripture today, let us uncover the depth of God's care for the lonely and his purposes to always be present, offering his peace and his love and his hope. Isn't that beautiful? There were so many times when I was by myself in my room, I would open up my Bible, my tangible Jesus is what I call it, right? Jesus isn't walking the earth with us, but the written word we have. And I would open the tangible scripture and I would lay it on the pillow next to me. because it brought comfort. The presence of God through Scripture just brought comfort, knowing that, you know what, I'm not alone. We know that, but sometimes we need to be reminded that even at the place where you feel the most alone, God is with us. Emmanuel is with us, with you. In those hardest of points, his love is with you. Isn't that beautiful? There's an article by Medical News Today about the health effects of loneliness. Quoting this article, it states that there is evidence that the risk of developing and dying from heart disease can depend on the strength of one's social network of friends and family. So, like, our health is directly related to either being isolated or being around people. Warren Clark, he's a senior analyst with Housing, Family, and Social Statistics. He prepared a survey on social trends. In an age of high-tech communication, Clark reveals how we are terminally in touch with one another, yet many live alone. Families have decreased from 4 to 2.6 members, which I think that's interesting, the 2.6. I don't know how they got that, but okay. Members, but houses are larger from 5 to 6 rooms. So our houses have gotten bigger and our families have gotten smaller. We want private bathrooms and private space. The age of people sitting in the same room and being in meaningful activity and relationship is a lost gift of healthy social interaction. We have lost the hospitality of long ago, and we need it back. Amen? Lord, help us. On an average, we spend 6 hours alone a day. That's crazy. There are more churches, more Christian literature, and more apps available, more Bible reading plans, more social networks for podcasts and simulcasts than ever before. But yet, with all of that, we have people that are still lost in hope and looking for friendship and looking to belong. God help us, right? We all have a responsibility. The way to address loneliness is through social engagement and relationship building. We want to be a church that builds relationships. We want to look across the aisle and see who is needing friendship, right? And be able to offer that so that isolation can't win. I heard long ago that this acronym for SELF, S-E-L-F, is Satan's exact location forever. Yeah, Satan's exact location forever. He wants to get us isolated. He wants to get us on our own. He wants us to think that nobody cares, nobody loves us, there's something wrong with us, otherwise we'd have more friends and be more popular, blah, 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 right? We've got to connect in. There's a responsibility on our part. I want to talk about a few things today. It's a simple message. This is a reminder. This isn't anything super profound, but sometimes we need those reminders. Amen. Some other statistics from Barna Research says that 1 in 3 18 to 35-year-olds feel deeply cared for by 33% of them. So, like, yeah, 1 in 3 only feel cared about by those around them. Only 32% believe that somebody actually believes in them. 1 out of 3, the 18 to 35. That's crazy. Meanwhile, nearly 1 in 4 acknowledge encountering feelings of loneliness and isolation. So 1 out of every 4 people are dealing with the depths of feeling isolated and alone. That just shouldn't be, right? We've got so much to offer in the family of God. But it's going to take us opening our arms, opening our homes, opening conversations, opening friendship. You might have your couple friends. Well, I'm good. I got my peeps. But God asks us to open up our hearts. So I want to talk about 4 things today having to do with loneliness. All right. And the first one is this. God sees your loneliness. He sees you. There are many people in the Old Testament that dealt with loneliness. I mean, I can't even imagine David. The amount of time that he was out in the field watching sheep, right? Wondering, God, what are you doing? This is not what I thought this was going to look like. There are many different accounts. Hagar, the Lord promised her And here she's in the desert alone, wondering, God, where are you? There's many, many accounts. Back to Psalm 6:8, God sets the lonely in families. This is not just a poetic sentiment. It's the heart of God revealed through Scripture. God understands our loneliness, and he's actively involved in setting us in places of belonging where we can find love and comfort and community. We believe that. We even pray that when we pray about Rockside and we pray about what God has us doing, we pray that God brings us those that need to be here, whatever that means, right? Whether they need healing or restoration or forgiveness, or God, bring those that are needing to have this community in this season. Bring them, right? And we want to make sure that we are that to those that are coming. Turn with me to Genesis 2. We go right back to the beginning when God created all the things, right? He started off with Adam. Genesis 2:18. Very, very simple, but it all started with this. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So even when God started everything, he realized it's not good for man. And of course, he was talking about Adam at that time, but it's not good for mankind. It's not good for us to be alone, right? It reveals God's heart from the very beginning. It's not good for us to be alone. God created us for relationship, first with him, all right? That's important. That relationship with God matters, first with him and then with others. Loneliness was never part of God's original plan. But he acknowledges its presence in our lives and he offers a solution, all right? So remember that loneliness is not God's plan. He'll use it, of course, and there's solutions for it, but that wasn't the original plan. The body of Christ, the church, is one of God's primary ways of addressing loneliness. Turn with me to Ephesians. We'll take a look at God's plan for the church. Ephesians chapter 2. You guys doing all right? Yeah? You with me? Okay, I'm just making sure. It's feeling a little quiet, so I just got to make sure you're not falling asleep on me or, you know. I know, I see all things. You know? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2. All right, this is great. We're looking at 19, all right. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people. You are members of God's family. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian church, but this is for us today. Verse 20, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. You and I, we are members of God's family. We are all a part of God's family. And that's important that we operate that way, right? No matter where we are, what we are facing, we're never without a family in Christ. You might feel alone right now. You might have a story like me. You go home and you have nobody at your home. That might be a reality, but you have a family in Christ. You have a Father in heaven, God, who sees you and knows you, who is Emmanuel, who is with you, and you're not alone. So even when the practical part feels that way, the reality is you're not alone. Ultimately, isn't that beautiful? Through the church, God places us in community that offers support and love and understanding. And I will say this, we are not perfect at that. We want to continue to get better. Our heart's desire is to be that place, absolutely. But I know we make mistakes and I know we don't always 100% meet the mark. But if we all have that desire, if we are all saying, Lord, help me to be open-armed. Help me to have a heart that embraces others that are different than me, that think different than me, that look different from me, right? If we are all coming with that heart, then we won't miss anyone, right? I'm thankful for who God has brought. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you call this place your family. But God's gonna keep bringing us more, and we're gonna all need to make sure that we're setting the seat, pulling up a chair, come with me, come to this group, right? Let's meet for lunch. Let's go play pickleball. Let whatever that is, right? And mixing in, right? The Lord will help us. If you're feeling alone today, take comfort in this. God has placed you in His family. So look around. Open up your eyes and look around. God's church is here to surround you with love. But it helps to show up. Helps to connect in, right? Helps to look at the bulletin and online at what's available. Right? Because we're an average-sized church, and we offer quite a bit to get connected. We offer quite a bit for young adults and students and, you know, married couples and in general, prayer, mission. I mean, there's a lot of things. If you got a desire to connect in, we've got things for you. But you have to put some effort in that. We're not dragging people. We're not in the business of dragging people, all right? So you got to look around, right? The church is here to love you and support you. Engage with other believers. They're your spiritual family. They're part of the healing God has for you. Oh, that's good. They're part of the healing God has for you. That means the people on this side and the people on this side, maybe you don't ever really talk, but maybe we should. Maybe we should look up mixing up where we sit, right? Maybe instead of always coming in and sitting in the same row, maybe next week you're going to be like, you know, I'm going to try the other side. That might be a good idea. Here, I'm going to interject something since we're coming into the Easter holiday. I want to challenge us as a church, all right? We'll start next week. I want to challenge us that as we start beginning to prepare for Easter and inviting friends and family during the April time, let's start moving towards the front. Can we start leaving some of the back row space for guests? Can we do that? Can we have the forethought to be preparing ourselves that we leave open some of those back rows for people maybe that come in later or just guests? When you come brand new to a place, you certainly don't want to have to come up to the front, right? So can we do that as a church? Can we just be thoughtful? And again, not that nobody ever can sit in the back. We're not going to hound you for that, but we got a lot of frontage space that is open and available. And so I think it would do us well to just get in the habit of moving up a little bit. Does that make sense? Yes. Can we be hospitable like that and start to be aware of others and guests that are going to start coming, right? We can start filling the front. I'll tell you, being closer to the front, it is, you know, it's a different thing. It's pretty awesome. But let's do that, all right? And we'll remind you, we'll keep encouraging that. But I think that helps us get prepared for being hospitable to guests, right? To those that are coming. You know what it's like to walk in a place and you're like, oh, there's no seats. Oh, but up there in the front, like, ugh. So let's be hospitable and prepare for our guests. Amen? So God sees your loneliness. Number two, God promises His presence in our loneliness. Isn't that great? He promises He's going to show up. What a gift. Jesus understands loneliness like no one else. I mean, we're going to look at this. And I just love, it's just amazing. The scripture is so good. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. This account of Jesus and His disciples, my heart breaks. And I just hope and pray that if I would have been one of the disciples, that like maybe I would have been different, but you know. Probably not, but you know, we hope that we might be different. So Matthew 26, we'll look at verses 36 through 46. Oh my goodness. So here Jesus, He's calling on His friends to pray. Hey, come be with me. I got a lot on my plate. My heart's heavy, you know? And so He's like gathering His peeps, right? To come support Him. So again, I love looking at accounts in scripture like this because we can relate. We can realize that even Jesus had utter parts of just loneliness, all right? He connects with us. He understands. All right, verse 36 starts off like this. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And He said to them, and this is the disciples, sit here while I go over there to pray, all right? So He's very clear. All right, Jesus is very clear. Sit here, I'm going to go over here and pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and He became anguished and distressed. He told them. Now again, He's pouring out His heart to His friends. He's anguished, he's distressed. So obviously, he was physically overwhelmed, right? And they could see that. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." That's a lot of expression coming out of the heart of Jesus, right, to his friends. I'm pretty sure they got a picture that he was heartbroken, right? They weren't unclear on how he was feeling. "Stay here and keep watch with me." He was asking them to stay there and pray. While he is praying, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Verse 39 says, "He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground." I'm sure overwhelmed with what was coming. Praying, "My Father." All right, so he's crying out to heaven now. Jesus, the Son of God, who knows what he's come to do, but still saying, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." So Jesus is crying out in anguish to his Father, saying, "Hey, if this is possible, can I not have to go through this?" And then, of course, submitting to the will of God, "But yet, if this is the way it needs to be, thy will be done," right? "I want your will to be done." Here we have a picture of Jesus in his hardest moments. But his friends, he had asked to support him and pray with him, right? So then we get to verse 40. "Then he returned to the disciples." Again, these are people he had poured into for three some years. They'd seen all the miracles. "He returned to the disciples and he found them asleep." Can you imagine the heartbreak? Like if you had just poured out your heart to a dear friend and said, "Hey, can you intercess with me? Can you pray with me on this?" And you come back and they're just checked out. Like the reality of that heartbreak, he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." So he goes back, he returns to them again, okay? A second time, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." Even in his worst time, when he needed his friends, they missed it, like big time, like just big time. But yet, in his mercy and his grace, he didn't yell at them, right? He said, "You know what? Go ahead, get some sleep." He realizing that the time had come and they had missed out on that opportunity to support him and to be there for him. How many times have we missed out on that opportunity, right? To be what we need to be for Christ when he needs us to be. He promises his presence in our loneliness. And to know that even Jesus Christ dealt with such heartache. He understands what you're dealing with. He understands the grief and the pain. He even had friends that weren't there for him, like us at many times. There was another part on Matthew 27, which we won't look at, but Jesus was on the cross, even in that moment of loneliness, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This was the ultimate expression of isolation for Jesus as he bore the weight of the world's sin. But Jesus didn't remain alone. Even in his darkest moment, he turned to the Father, right? So what an example for us to turn to the Father when you're experiencing the deepest loneliness, those places where you feel so utterly alone. Turn to the Father. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says this: "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Don't be afraid, whatever you're handling, whatever you're going through. I am with you. The Lord is with you. When you feel alone, when you feel rejected, when you feel not enough, when you feel pushed aside, you are not alone. His presence is always with us. If you're walking through a season of loneliness right now, remember this: you are not forgotten. God is with you. Draw near to him in prayer. Draw near to him in his word, in worship. Draw near to his presence, right? And he will draw near to you. No matter how alone you may feel, you are never truly alone because God's presence is with us. Number three is this: we got to reach out to others. If you're dealing with loneliness, if you're dealing with being isolated, our job, we've got to have responsibility. Reach out. While God promises his presence, he also calls us to be his presence to others. A gift, in a sense. Offer our presence, right? Loneliness can often be alleviated when we extend a hand of compassion to others by inviting them in. It's simple. It doesn't have to be huge. It can mean so much. The Apostle Paul experienced his seasons of loneliness a lot. I mean, the guy was in prison a lot. I can't even imagine the many times where he was by himself. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. We've got a few more things to look at. I don't know if you've ever thought about how much he was by himself. 2 Timothy 4. And this is Paul's final words, and verse 9 says, "Timothy, please come as soon as you can," all right? "Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. And Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Titus to Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left. Also bring my books and especially my papers. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said." Okay. "The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death." Oh my goodness. In that passage, it just goes on and on. And there's more tales that he can tell of being deserted and being left and like people just not showing up for him. But even in that, even in those moments when it says, "Everyone abandoned me," I don't even know if we can all say that. Like, if everyone is up, I mean, he was feeling that desertion. But the Lord, Paul says, "The Lord stood with me and gave me strength." What a good reminder to us that even in the worst of worst, whatever we're facing, even if it feels like the world has deserted you and walked out on you, the good news is that Jesus has not, God has not. Amen? There's so much beauty in that. If you're struggling with loneliness, look around. There may be somebody near you who is also in need of companionship. Maybe they need encouragement just like you. Maybe they just need help. Some things are going on in their life and they just need some help. Reach out to each other. Reach out if you're feeling alone. Pick up the phone. Make an appointment. Call and go to lunch. Connect in. Offer your time. Offer your prayers. Offer your presence to each other. Can we do that? Can we be better at that, Rockside? God has created us for connection. And when we extend his love to others, we experience his love more deeply. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Proverbs 11:25. It's one of my life verses. If we can look to help refresh other people, God will take care of you. And the last thing is this. I know we're almost done. I'm hurrying. Is this. Find joy in God's family. Find joy in God's family. Go back to Psalm 68, right? He sets the lonely in families. Loneliness can feel like a prison, a place where we feel trapped in our own thoughts and emotions, but God doesn't just set us free from loneliness. He fills us with joy, his joy, the joy of knowing that we are loved by God, that we belong to him, and that his promises are true. In John 15, 9 through 13, it says this, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for their friends. There's no greater love, right? That's what we are called to for each other. This joy is not dependent on our circumstances, but on the unshakable truth of God's love for us. Oh. So if you're feeling isolated, remember that joy is available in Christ. It's not in anything else that you want to try to pour your life into the world. It won't work. Your circumstances in life may change, but God's joy is constant. Again, draw near to him, meditate on his word, and rejoice in the fact that you are loved by the creator of the universe. Take a moment and think about that. The creator of all the universe that made the heavens and the earth, that holds everything in his hands, God Almighty, you are loved by him. You are not alone. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and it can and will sustain you in seasons of loneliness, if you let it. Amen. Loneliness is real. It's a painful experience, but it doesn't have to define us. As believers, we have the assurance that God sees us in our loneliness, that he's present with us in our darkest hours, and that he has placed us in families and in a church family with believers who can walk alongside of us. I encourage you today to embrace the truth that you are not alone. Don't agree with the lies of the enemy. Come into agreement with the truth of what God says, that you are not alone. God's love surrounds you. His presence fills you, and his family is here for you. When you feel isolated, reach out. And you will find that as you do, you will receive. Let's remember to take comfort that God sets the lonely in families. You are loved. You belong. You are loved. You belong. And you're never alone.